Derek, while you're back there, could you get the light, the stage light? Thank you. Well, good afternoon and welcome. It is good to see everybody here. As always, I appreciate your presence. We're going to continue a series this afternoon on the artifacts that are in the British Museum. And last month, we started this series, and I didn't have a great name for it. And it was replacing the series Traits That Matter. And so John Fraser came up to me and said, Jared, why not Artifacts That Matter? And I said, that's a great name. So now the series has a name. It's Artifacts That Matter, and it's from the British Museum. So we're going to spend some time looking at some of the things that you can see at that museum that relate to scriptural things. And specific today, we're going to talk about Sennacherib, the emperor, the king of Assyria. And one particular room is the main focus in the British Museum today, and that is the Lachish Room. So the purpose of this series, I always want to keep this in mind. There's a reason why we're doing this, and it's not just because it's interesting, but this is supposed to help us build our faith, because what we find is that the Bible is unlike any other book in the world. I mean, there are a lot of religious books. There's only one Bible. The only other book that I know of that relates to the Bible, that is a mixture that fuses together historical events with doctrinal truths, is the Book of Mormon. And the thing about the Book of Mormon is, you could never do this lesson with the Book of Mormon. You cannot go to any museum and find the historical events talked about in the Book of Mormon. You can't find any of it. None. Zilch. There's not a hint. And then you have the Bible. And you compare it to the Bible, and most major museums you go to, whether you realize it or not, has biblical evidence within it. They just don't always declare it. And that's not a bad thing. The British Museum doesn't have these big signs that says, prove Bible this room. They don't do that because they're not interested in proving the Bible. And that's great. These aren't people that are tainted, that are trying to convince us that the Bible is true. These are people that are only interested in what history reveals. And what history reveals is amazing. It reveals that the Bible talks about real places, real people, real events, and then it shows us that some of the things that we may not actually have specific evidence for fits with other things that we see within history. We'll see a few of those in today's lesson. I have to tell you now that we're talking about one room, but it's just too much. It's a struggle for me to correctly organize this particular lesson. Ladies, I have great news for you. Bonnie does a better job with this. And so if you're going to the ladies' Bible class, you're going to get to talk about Lachish in its bigger context and its more significant meaning. But anyway, we do this so that we can better understand the Bible. If you go to Israel, if you go to Turkey and Greece or Egypt, you'll never read the Bible the same again. And if the more we see these things, the more we see the pictures and understand the reality of the things we're reading about, we start to see what we read. Randy's, what does that look like? That's a lot of what we're going to talk about today. What did that look like? Because we get pictures of what it looked like. How rare is that? You don't get a lot of camera pictures from the Old Testament, right? But that's what we get today. All right, so better understand the Bible, and then we understand that the more knowledge we have of history, the better we understand the Bible, the more it enriches it. Okay, so we have our map, and the map is overlaid with modern nations today, and so we're familiar with Iraq right here, Iran's on this side, you have Syria, Turkey's up here, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Israel, and Palestine, and Lebanon is over there. So that's our general area, and today we're going to be focusing on Nineveh up here in Assyria, and just about everything the Bible has ever said has at some point been doubted. Nineveh gets destroyed, and it gets destroyed to such a degree that there were many scholars who for some time didn't believe the city existed. Now, there's not a single scholar in the world who would believe that anymore. It is just abundantly obvious. But the Bible talked about Nineveh, and some people are like, nah, that's a myth. Well, it's right over there. And it was the capital of a tremendous nation, the Assyrians. And the Assyrians would come down and they conquer Babylon. And they come over here and they come along the Fertile Crescent because nobody goes around down there. And they come down and they conquer the northern kingdom up here. but not the southern kingdom. We'll talk about that a little bit. So this now is the southern kingdom, so the Dead Sea, Sea of Galilee, Mediterranean Sea. This dot would represent Jerusalem. And then there's Lachish. And of course, we're all very familiar with Lachish. It's just one of the major cities of Old Testament. I don't need to mention it at all. You do know about Lachish, right? Now, of course, it's not one of the things we talk about a lot, but it is in the Bible. And it is mentioned, and it is actually a pretty significant city. Bonnie kind of compares it to Chicago. So it's not like it's Washington, D.C. It's not New York, but it's a major city. And for the southern kingdom, Lachish was a major city, and I'd like you to observe, it is south of Jerusalem. All right? Okay. So what we're going to talk about is how the Assyrians came and conquered Lachish. And the Bible does mention this. And first it mentions it in the way of prophecy. So Micah comes in Micah 1 verse 13. He says, "Harness the chariot to the team of horses, O inhabitant of Lachish. She was the beginning of sin to the daughter of Zion, because in you were found the rebellious acts of Israel." And skipping down to verse 16, he says to them, "Make yourself bald and cut off your hair, because of the children of your delight. Extend your baldness like the eagle, for they will go from you into exile." So sometime back in the past, and this is leading up very close to the time that the Assyrian Empire is exploding in power and getting ready to conquer everything, it's during that time that Micah comes to the people of Lachish and he says, "You guys need to fix it. You guys need to change. You are acting like the northern kingdom of Israel, and they're going to get conquered, and you will also be taken away. Mourn and shave your heads, for that's what's coming." And of course, what happens when a prophet comes to town and tells you something like that? Well, we know what they do. They ignore them. They hate them. They persecute them. But they had one man who came and told them about what's about to happen. Well, Isaiah chapter 36 records that what happens, and if we go into 2 Kings, what we find is that the Assyrians come in and they conquer the northern kingdom, but they leave the southern kingdom alone. But Hezekiah rebels against Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and Assyria then makes a second wave. And it now comes in and it's going to wipe out the southern kingdom. And so Isaiah records this, Isaiah 36, verses 1 through 2. "Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and seized them. And the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh from Lachish to Jerusalem to King Hezekiah with a large army, and he stood by the conduit of the upper pool on the highway of the Fuller's Field." And so here we have this declaration within scriptures that Sennacherib is coming in with his army. He attacks the southern kingdom and all of their fortified cities. Included in there, suddenly mentions, one of the cities they went to was Lachish. And they go from Lachish to Jerusalem to talk to the king. So for a long time, nobody believed that. Nobody believed any of that. And then, in the year 1847, an archaeologist is in Nineveh. They found it. And in Nineveh, they found a palace. And in the palace, they found one of the main rooms. And in the main room, they found these walls of decorations. And this wall of decoration was dedicated to Nineveh's conquest of Lachish. It even mentions Lachish on it. And so we have a picture of Jews and from the Old Testament. We have a picture of their city. We have a picture of the conquest. And we'll talk about that a little bit. But that was really big. The book that I was looking at said that that was the first archaeological evidence of a biblical event. Since then, there have been a whole bunch of them, but that was the first one, so that was really exciting. Okay, so this is inside this one room in the British Museum, and this is the Terracotta Foundation document. There is not a test on this. You don't have to remember that. But this is, about this tall, and it's all language that I can't read, but there's a little sign on there that says lines about 31 through 83 or thereabouts, and I went down and I counted, and I'm just guessing here that I've got the right place, but I have about the right size. That section is dedicated to Sennacherib's attack on Israel, on Judah, on the conquest of Lachish, and him later trying to go after Jerusalem. So then there's another place in the British Museum, and now you have to just wander, and you have to just know these things are there, and that's kind of a challenge. Again, there's not a big sign that says, prove Bible here. But this part is now the Babylonian section. And in the Babylonian section, I've included this picture for her, not because I know her or anything, but she gives you a size reference for this guy here, which is called the Taylor Prism. All right, so the Taylor Prism, you can see here and here. Unfortunately, they have it turned the wrong direction. The part we want is right about here. They don't have it turned the right way, but right about there, it starts talking about Sennacherib and his conquests again. And here's what's interesting. So, Taylor Prism mentions Merodach-Baladan, and you all remember Merodach-Baladan, right? Another one that you were trying to decide, should I call my kid Corey or Merodach-Baladan? Well, anyway, we don't know much about him, but here's the thing. In the Bible, he's mentioned. Merodach-Baladan is mentioned in Isaiah 39 and verse 1 as king of Babylon. And here we have the Taylor Prism, which mentions the fact that Sennacherib conquers the king of Babylon named Merodach-Baladan. And then he mentions Hezekiah and the fact that Hezekiah had to pay tribute to the king Sennacherib, which we find within the scriptures in 2 Kings 18, 14 through 16. Hezekiah, after he rebels against Sennacherib, comes to his senses because of what happens in Lachish. And so he offers up tribute. And the Taylor Prism records that. And then the Taylor Prism goes on to record that he shut up Jerusalem and Hezekiah like a caged bird. Hezekiah is mentioned, Jerusalem is mentioned, and siege is mentioned, the fact that they're locked up like a caged bird. But you know what's not mentioned, and this is very interesting, no conquest. It goes on and it mentions the fact that the great men of Jerusalem wouldn't fight against me. But he doesn't conquer it. That's very odd. It's very odd. Okay, so now let's get to this one room. One room in the British Museum, and they've dedicated this section to it. And in there, there's this picture, this artist rendition, and I got to tell you, this artist is completely unimaginative because all he's really done is spread out the wall into, he takes this spread out wall, really, and he compacts it into one picture, and he adds color and depth. But all the stuff you're seeing right here is on the wall. I mean, almost like person for person. But what you're looking at here is this is the city of Lachish as he saw it. And this was the walls. And you see how there's double layers of walls? This is going to be kind of a weird endorsement. But if you really kind of want to understand how you attack cities back then, watch Lord of the Rings Two Towers. Ignore the orc part. But other than that, that's pretty accurate. You've got the multi-layers of walls. You've got the way that you attack. So, I mean, they come in, they attack here. Look, you have this next section. You have to attack this next part. So here's another interesting part this artist has drawn. He's drawn this ramp right here. So the city of Lachish is on a hill and has walls. And so it's really hard to get up to it. And so if you're going to conquer it, you build your own ramp. Tons and tons and tons of dirt and rock is built right there. If you go to the archaeological excavation of Lachish today, it's still there. Assyria builds this ramp. And then all the guys start running up the ramp. And you can see these guys, which are archers. And next to them is the guy who has this big shield. And we'll see that. This poor guy, he fell off the wall. This is a siege engine, which is, you know, kind of like those battering ram to go knock down the wall. And on top of it, you have somebody who's shooting an arrow. And another guy, I'll talk about him hopefully in a little bit later. And then down here, all along here, you have a bunch of people throwing slings. You know, David, slings, that's what they're doing. And they're launching all their rocks. You can see the little rubble up here. And it's a little hard to see. Maybe you can see these guys here. Those are, let's call them fire bombs. That's where they take fire and they throw it at everybody down below. And so you have this chaotic scene of everybody trying to defend Lachish and the Assyrians trying to conquer it. This is just an artist rendition. And here is the futuristic picture. They're going to lose. And everybody's going to come away with all of their stuff, and they're going to have to be taken away, and they lose all of their stuff. Okay, so this is the Lachish room. And everything you just saw on there is really just giving color to the things that you see along in this wall right here. And so you can go through here, and that is the rocks that they found, and they took this wall off of the palace in Assyria, in Nineveh, and they put it in the Babylon and the British Museum. Okay, so I know it's a little bit hard to see, but if we go back, this wall right here with these people walking here and these people climbing up, that's right here. There's the little wall. And there's people going up, and here's people going down, and they're going up, and they're all attacking it. And so you just see rows and rows and rows of warriors here, rows and rows and rows of warriors here. Here's just one part of the city, part of the city, part of the city over here. That's a siege engine, and the people running up, and you see the people with the bows and arrows, and the people walking down with all their stuff. So we move in closer. There's a part of the battlement of the gate that they're trying to conquer over here. These are actually all your firebombs and arrows being launched in both different directions. Here's these guys running up the next row. Here's the people being taken out of Lachish. They have lost. I want you to imagine the sounds. I want you to envision seeing a vast army in front of you and the terror that would cause. See, we have this great blessing in America, something that they didn't have, and that is we're isolated. We don't have war in America. Imagine, though, if Mexico hated Canada and they were constantly at war, we would constantly be having to choose a side. And if we chose Canada, Mexico would attack us. And if we chose Mexico, Canada would attack us. And that's Israel constantly being attacked. And it was brutal. It was loud. It was gruesome. Unfair warning, this is a kind of gruesome lesson. I say unfair because I didn't tell any of the parents beforehand, but there's some gruesome stuff on this wall. Okay, so here's your shield. There's your archer. This guy behind him is the one who's holding the shield and has a sword or a spear or something, so if anybody comes close, they stab him, and they're just launching a barrage of arrows, just going over the wall constantly, killing the people of Lachish. And what do we find at the side of Lachish? And this is now inside the British Museum, but this here is an iron arrow, and you have iron arrows behind. Well, a siege takes a long time, and you run out of iron, and especially if you're an Israelite or the Judeans, and so you start making them out of bone. And so you have bone arrows and iron arrows. Here's more bone arrows. Now, this one's interesting to me. This is part of the wall of Lachish, some rock that has an iron arrow embedded into it. You are looking at a moment of history. Way back in around 700 BC, some Assyrian pulled back his bow, launched the arrow, and that arrow dug into the city of Lachish. And now we have a piece of it, a moment of history right there. And there's another arrow. This time it's in a piece of pottery. And then further back on this, on the wall, we find this depiction of the rows of people with slings. And you go to Lachish and you find a whole bunch of the stones that they use. Little stones about the size of a billiard ball. The sling right here, that one is modern made. Those probably would not survive this amount of time. But you have just all of these all over the place. Now imagine, you take a rock like this and you can sling these things about 120 miles per hour. They can go about a quarter of a mile for the warriors. And they are constantly hitting the wall and metal shields. The clanks, the loud, thunderous noise that is occurring as the city is being attacked. This is in their mind. When it talks about the judgment within the scripture, they have visions of things like this. And this just gives you a picture. That's my selfie. I was indeed at the British Museum. There's my fingers to prove it. But that gives you an idea about the size of this. So then, while this isn't what we see within scriptures, it is like what we see within scriptures. When you talk about David going off and getting the stones, that's what he's getting. It says five round, smooth stones. Smooth stones? He's looking for that. Okay, so then here is the siege engine. And you can see the little wheels down here, and they're going up the ramp, and you got guys shooting arrows back here. Here's a guy shooting an arrow there. It's this little guy. I don't know if you can see him, but he cracks me up. So this little guy has his back to a wall, and this is probably made out of wood and covered in leather. And remember, they're throwing all these things that are on fire at you. They're trying to catch this on fire, and it's going right up against it. So he has his back up against the wall, and it shows him with a stick in his hand. You see his hand right there and his stick? And then that, he's inside there taking water out of a bucket and putting it on the front. That's what he's doing, is so that they keep throwing fire out there, he keeps putting the fire out. And so there's this wall of soldiers working their way up towards you, and you can't stop them, you can't hit them, you can't catch them on fire. So then some people try to escape. Here again, this is our tower. There's the people walking down. And then right here, we're going to look at the next pictures of this right here. And here's some Assyrian soldiers, and they're impaling people. And they impale them in front so everybody can see, and everybody has to go by. We beat you. And they're brutal about it. And you look out and you get discouraged when you see people you know being impaled. And then the picture that we saw was just over here. Everybody now is gathering their stuff, and they're going along. They have a camel here, and these things are pretty well drawn, because here you have some oxen right there, and you can see their rib cages, which tells you what? They were starving inside there. This siege was causing them to starve. But then your next gruesome scene is right here, and we go on there, and now these are Jewish leaders of the city, and they're being skinned alive. You lose. You lose. It's not like you just make a little treaty and everything's okay. The Bible describes losing to an army as being a horrible, horrible thing. There's a reason why Micah was saying, shave your heads now for what you're about to go through. And so then after that, we have picture after picture, and these are Israelites. Those are Judeans. That's what they look like. And we can actually, through things like this, recognize them in other pictures and know who they are based on their hair, the way their hair is done, based on the things that they wear. And so here's another.